Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
Did we talk about a while back, maybe about relocation?
I know we picked that topic and I know we have mentioned it like here and there in some of our other episodes and conversations, but we haven't made like a full episode about that.
You're listening to Breaking Patterns, a podcast where we talk about the times when life isn't linear, hear stories from people on non-traditional career journeys, and together explore the many ways of accomplishing our goals.
I was thinking this morning, like what could be like a good starting topic to, you know, to start talking about that. And it happened because yesterday I went to the supermarket on my own for the first time. It's funny, but since I'm here with my, like my partner and my family and everything, it's just like, I happen to be always with someone. So yesterday I went to the supermarket alone and I had to speak Portuguese on my own and, you know, just do normal stuff on my own. That I have done many, many times before, but it was my first time doing it here. And since, like, I moved from Chile recently to Portugal, and now, and this is like my third language that I'm learning now. It's not only, I realized that when you move abroad again, it's such a big process to start getting used to it, everything, how things are done in the country, not only the language. Of course, the language is a huge part of it, but like just getting used to how things are done, the names of the things, names of the products and how people speak. It's such a big thing. And I was thinking that it took me less time to get used to how things work when I was living in Chile. Of course, it's Spanish and it was the same continent that I was born in, but it took me less time because I had an on-site job and it was easier because I had like co-workers that were Chileans and that they were just like taught me how things work there. And as I was there in the supermarket yesterday alone, I realized that's kind of how I feel learning how to get used to another country because I work a remote job. It's just like I'm on my own and I'm kind of have to learn everything almost on my own because I still don't have friends that are from here and stuff like that. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. What do you think? Like getting used to a country, learning how about the people, making friends, getting to know people from a remote job. It's really different than when you try to do it when you're working an on-site job, right?
Definitely. That's a really good thought that you had because I think working remotely really changes things in your life, especially as an immigrant when you relocate to a new country or, I mean, even a new city. I think it doesn't even have to be as serious as like moving to a whole new country, culture, continent. But in my particular case, yeah, I've noticed that it feels a little slower, some things, you know, because we're usually at work. I have a habit of, especially, you know, before I moved down to 6 hours a day, I felt that when I work a full day, 8 hours, I'm just kind of exhausted from that. And I felt myself kind of like not seeking out doing different things or, you know, going to a cafe to maybe, you know, meet a friend or something. I found it really difficult to kind of motivate myself to get out and meet new people and kind of do all the things that one needs to do just in general. I don't know if that's been your experience as well, but I think for me, at least, maybe we can talk about it a little more, but I would say working 6 hours has kind of helped relieve some of that. I don't, you know, I'm somebody who likes to have a lot of kind of like time to transition into something. Have you ever seen the meme on Twitter? It's something like, I have a doctor's appointment at 3 p.m. so I can't do anything until then. Have you ever
yeah,
seen
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I feel.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's me too. Yeah, so I'm not sure I answered your question, but I think it definitely is, it resonates differently when, now that I work remotely, it's a little harder to kind of break out of your shell a little bit. I don't know if that's the right word, because I think, at least for me, when I've gone many days with just kind of being at home or like, you know, I kind of start to get a little anxious about it because I feel that I need to, you know, see someone or socialize or go out and do something new. But it does kind of, it can be difficult, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, I totally understand. And I know I have said like this word a lot in our conversations, but with this topic, like getting to know people or like getting used to a new country when you're working a remote job, I feel like you have to be very, very intentional, like to practice the language. Like if you want to meet people, then you have to like make time during the week or like me, if you want to practice the language and you are mostly at home and you go to the supermarket, like be intentional to try to speak to the cashier or like other people at the supermarket, because when you're working an on-site job, that just happens. Like you're talking to your coworkers every day, especially if they, because that's the other thing, especially if they speak the language that you're trying to practice. Because in my case, we speak English at our job. I speak Spanish at my home with my family and my partner and everything. And then on the street and like with everyone else in the country, I'm trying to learn Portuguese. So yeah, I definitely have to be very intentional of like the language that I want to practice. But yeah, it's just, it would be easier to practice a language if it's the one that you speak at your job. I guess that's my point. But yeah, I love my job and I love our team. It's just that I was just thinking of it, you know, like it's interesting because it's like like everything has its pros and cons. And I guess that's one of the cons of remote work. I guess it depends on the person that you ask. But in my case, I guess that's one of the cons. If you want to practice a new language or like get to know people from the country that you just moved in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't have the three languages issue that you do, or not issue, but reality, I guess, where you work in one language, you live in another language, and then you are trying to integrate yourself by the third language. But that third language is only the amount of Portuguese that you will get is directly related to how much you put yourself out there and go out into the world, rather than have it come to you kind of by, like, not accident, but in my case, I have some friends that speak Spanish. So whenever I'm with my friends here, we're speaking Spanish. So it's automatically I get practice. And I really enjoy that because I speak English at work, but I always need like daily input from Spanish. But now you are in this new country and you're finding you've got another third language, and it sounds a little more complicated, but also totally related to how much your free time is built on getting out there, talking to strangers, making friends, and, you know, learning about the country that you moved to.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess we could even, because talking about learning a new language, that could be like a whole, not another episode. But I think it's really interesting because I haven't been doing a really good job at learning Portuguese, because I have been here for like 5 months, I think. And it's just like still pretty recent, like still me getting used to like finding my routine here, finding my place. So I haven't really had the time to be intentional and say, I'm going to learn Portuguese. But it's interesting that just by being here and not necessarily doing much, I have still learned so many new words and things that I just happen to know how to say something in Portuguese, for example. And I don't know how that came. I don't know how I learned that, but it just happened. I think that's really cool. That also happened yesterday at the supermarket. I was like, imagine if I just put a little bit of effort in learning it, I will know enough to, because funny story, like I look very young. I'm young, but I look even younger. So I was buying some beers. They were not for me. I don't drink. I don't think there's anything wrong, but it's just funny that they were not even for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I put them, and I'm going to pay them. And the cashier asked me to see my ID. And at first, I didn't understand her. And she was just like trying to make the hand gesture of like, I need to see your ID. And I thought like, okay, yeah, here it is. And then she was like, I'm sorry. It's just like, you look very young. It's like, no, it's okay.
That's pretty good. What are some of the words that you find yourself kind of unconsciously, what are a few examples of words that you know in Portuguese that you're like, oh, I know that one?
You know, I was trying to think of an example and now I really can't think of one, because it's just like, it's really interesting because it's just not something that it's on top of my head. It's just like if something happens, like if I need to call something by their name or a thing or I don't know, something like that. And I just happen to know how it's called, but it's just like a brief moment that I know how it's called and then I forget it.
Oh, interesting. Uh-huh. I have a problem. I don't know if this is the same, but I will hear, like, I'm realizing that I'm, you know, I love words, I love languages, it's one of my passions and interests, but there are words that I remember because they sound funny to me or there's a funny story attached to it. And then I've had some of the experience when I was in this co-working space, a few times I heard these words that some people were very surprised that somebody like me knew these, like the word aposentos.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Voy a mis aposentos. And it came up in conversation. Yeah. I thought, oh, that's really funny. Like, and they're like, why do you know that word? But it is all based on some type of context, right? And the context for me was I learned that word a few years ago because it was a funny joke that an old lady said, you know, like, I'm going to my aposentos, you know, I'm going to my chambers to recline or repose or something. And then it just stuck with me. Mara, I'm not sure how much we're going to use of this, but...
but it's just interesting. I like it because I like the idea of having more casual conversations.
Same, yeah. I miss this too.
Not having like extremely planned conversations.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do wanted to also point out that this being my second time moving abroad and also having worked a remote job at two countries, it's something that it's interesting is that you can see how different remote work is perceived on different places. And it still depends on to who you ask. But for example, like in Chile, it got pretty normal during the pandemic. So everyone knew what remote work was, and it wasn't weird that someone was working it, but it was treated like as a temporary thing. It was like, oh yeah, you're working remotely, but eventually everyone will go back to the office, right? And that's how it's mostly happening there, I believe. There are some companies that are fully remote, like new startups that are starting to apply that. But mostly it was treated like as a transition thing, or, well, I guess not, like a temporary thing. But here, like the digital nomad culture is very known, mostly amongst like younger people, but it's getting pretty popular, like Portugal as a country, to work and live as a digital nomad. I learned that here. But of course, like when it comes to like government institutions and like legal paperwork, that's another topic, but it's not as common in that, in those places. Like if you're, I don't know, if you're trying to explain your work situation at a bank, for example, or something like that, they might have a bunch of questions. But yeah, it just in general among younger people, like younger generations, it's pretty normal, like the digital nomad thing. And like I got me thinking about the whole topic because I think I mentioned that to you, that I saw a tweet that it was talking about that the thing that no one says is that being a digital nomad can be very lonely. And I actually don't know very well the definition of a digital nomad. I thought it meant just that you work remotely from different places. But I was reading and it seems to be tied to someone who just like, who's like an entrepreneur and doesn't have like a fixed job, I think. But yeah, that just got me thinking about the whole, but what we want to talk basically, like relocating, having a remote job, having the ability to do so, or like have some, have vacation time from your fixed job or like, or your entrepreneur job, I guess. How, yeah, I guess it's difficult to do it. Like it's, I guess because I haven't tried to find the right words. Because you know how everyone, for some people, it's like a dream. Oh yeah, I want to be a digital nomad. I want to work from different places and work remotely and all of that stuff. And it is really amazing. I don't know if I qualify as a digital nomad, but just the fact of being able to relocate and work from different places and still have, if you have a fixed job and still have the, that stability of a fixed job, it's incredible. But it does get complicated at times for like the things that we were talking about. If it's because you relocated to a new country, like if you move into a new country, it can be difficult to get to know people or like get, learn a new language if it's, that's not the language that you're speaking at your work. And it also, yeah, it can be very lonely at times because of that same reason that you're not making friends at that place, like on-site friends, or at least it's not that easy to do it. What do you think of that? I know you have worked or you have lived in many other places and also worked at many other places and also speak to many people like on that co-working place, Sende, that you went to.
When you were talking about that, I started remembering a few of the people that I was in Sende with this summer in August. Sende is a rural co-working, co-living spot that's really beautiful in the Galician mountains. And a few of my new friends that I met there would describe themselves as nomads, digital nomads. And they definitely had a different kind of outlook. I think some of them were entrepreneurs. Some of them worked for different companies or kind of like on a freelance basis. Some of them also had their own companies. But it was very interesting to see that the inside the remote work space, you know, there are people like me who, and people like you who, we've moved countries for whatever reason, and we are we have the benefit of working from anywhere. So part of, you know, that relocation, the job didn't, you know, that wasn't a stressor. There was, we could carry that job with us while, you know, we relocated just like you did. With them, it was really interesting because they were, I think, probably a little, I felt they had a kind of in general, like a pretty good work-life balance in the way that I didn't feel like I had because, and I think it wasn't about work necessarily, but I think it's more about your daily life when you are working, but outside of work. So I have a dog, I have a car, I have an apartment to pay, you know, I have friends in one location. And I think for them, it was really interesting because they felt, or I felt they were a little freer where they could say, okay, I've got this job. I work this time to this time, but I can be in Lisbon next week, or I can go to Tokyo and it really doesn't matter. Whereas I can do that and I could go on vacation and maybe live in Tokyo for 3 months if I wanted to, but I'm not sure I'm saying anything now that I'm thinking back on what I just said, but it definitely was a different kind of vibe that they had.
Yeah, no, I understand. And it's also cool, like, to know those testimonies, I guess, that they're called. Yeah, to know how, because I have heard, or like I have seen on social media a lot about digital nomads, but I have never met one. So it's really cool to hear from them those type of stories, and also like ask them how's that going for them, because just like everything, it may sound really nice on paper and it may end up not being for you, or maybe you think that it doesn't sound like a very good idea and you end up doing it and you love it. But yeah, it's really interesting because I feel that it has been seen as this dream job and this dream thing to do with your life. But in reality, it's just like, it's not for everyone. Just like maybe remote jobs in could not be for everyone. On-site jobs are also not for everyone. And I think it's just a matter of getting to know yourself and how much time you need for yourself, for your family, how much time you want. Just like you wanted more time because you need more time to have a better work-life balance. And I think it's great that you have the option to do it, because there are many other jobs and other situations that where you just don't have the option. And like, if you don't, because I have been told that basically in other on-site jobs, like if you want to work less hours, just don't work here, or you cannot work here if you want to work less hours, for example, which is really horrible.
Yeah. I agree. Like, I think that, well, it's kind of a testament to, there were a few digital nomads that were pretty nomadic, but they were coming to Sendai. They were coming to the spot for a month to get that community, that they did also confess that they lacked in other places because they didn't speak the language or they didn't feel integrated within their current location, wherever they were coming from last. Today, I woke up fine. It's a nice day, but I feel kind of foggy a little bit. I don't know if you do too, as well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I woke up foggy. So I'm surprised I have been able to come up with stuff because I was, when I woke up, I was very, yeah, like my mind was like scattered.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Scattered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like all over the place. So I'm surprised I've been able to focus on something because I have been struggling with like focusing this last few days. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear that.
I also wanted to say that we've been like mentioning a lot of cons of like digital nomads and remote job, but also I wanted to mention that I've also realized, especially after my recent experience of relocating with a remote job, that being a part of a global team and just being able to see, especially because of our company, that we have such a global team at Castos, and also because of the remote job, being able to go to travel to different places and see how people work in different countries, it's been such an like an humbling experience. It's like an eye-opening experience as well. It's just like everyone works differently. Everyone at every country has different perspectives of work. I believe because of having that remote job and because we're in a global team, being able to experience that is just amazing, because you learn so much from other people, and you're not as like tied to your own beliefs of or the country where you grew up with, and you, because I really think that just traveling in general and knowing how other people live and work is really helpful, because you're more aware of how small you are and also how some of your beliefs are not really,
they might not come from you. They might come from,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they come exactly from where you came from or the place where you were raised.
Right, exactly. So I think it's just amazing that I've realized that it's just amazing that I'm able to witness those things, because I have a remote job. And I remember when I had my on-site job, I was feeling like I was, not only because it was an on-site job, it was a bad job in general, but the on-site job is kind of like another part of it.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
when I was there, I was feeling like I was trapped and I was not learning anymore. And now that I'm going through all of these new experiences, it's just amazing. And yeah, of course, being in a remote job is a huge part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and let's talk a little about some of the specifics about remote work. One of the biggest things, and you mentioned it, is geography. And part of working in a global distributed team is time zones. What has been your experience working with colleagues in different time zones that are on different schedules and routines, and they have a different way of working, or even, you know, a different time of working? How has that experience been for you?
It's been really interesting, and I'm sure you can relate to this as well, because I have experienced both time zones at our company, Caston, because we have like our Europe team, like our time zone on this side of the world, and like our American time zone. And when I was in Chile, I was mostly, because most of our team is mainly on that time zone, right? So when I was in Chile and I was on that time zone, I felt like I was, not that I want to say the right word, because it's not that now I don't feel involved, but it's just that I was like more on active conversations. I was just like present, I guess. And now that I'm on the European time zone, and it's just like I wake up first and most people in our team, it's kind of funny, especially if I want to say something to a coworker, send a message, especially because one of my coworkers that I speak the most to is like, we have like
the
a lot of time
away
difference.
From, yeah, the
yeah,
farthest,
the farthest
away.
From
away. Yeah.
Yeah.
When that I was wake actually, up, that was like, actually the reason for my question, is because I know Francois is the farthest away from Europe, at least on our team. And yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so when I wake up and when I start working at around 9 a.m., it's like 2 a.m. for him or 3 a.m., something like that. And I always feel like, oh, I want to send a message now, because I don't want to forget, do it, or I just want to say it right away or something like that. And I feel like, but it's very early for him. And when Slack says that, oh, it's like 1 a.m. sorry, for Prince, I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to send the message.
Right, yeah, that's
And I
that's
feel very, very guilty. But now I remember, like, especially after Craig, our CEO, saying, like, it shouldn't be the sender's responsibility to say, oh, I don't want to send a message because I don't want to be disrespectful of their time, because it's not that you're being disrespectful necessarily, because we have a lot of like async communication. So it's mostly a responsibility of the person receiving the message, if they see it, or if they see it or not, if they respond to the message or not, because we know that it's not, unless it's really, really urgent, that, and that really happens, I believe, that you should really see it and answer right away. And of course, I don't expect anyone to answer me right away at 2 a.m. their time or something like that. But yeah, I think it's just, I really appreciated when Craig said that, because it's like, okay, I can send the message. And if someone sends me a message, a coworker at a time that I'm not working anymore, I know that it's because we have different time zones and it could be that they're working, maybe it could also be that they may be working extra hours or that they catching up work or something mm-hmm. like that. And they're sending me the message at the time, but I'm not working. So I shouldn't read it and reply and just reply when I'm already at my working hours or something. But I still feel guilty. Like even after knowing that, I still feel guilty, but not as guilty as I did.
That's it. And I actually just told a friend this, that it's been a process because for both of us, this is our first remote job. And so it does, for anyone listening who is still struggling with kind of like questioning yourself about time zones and about, like, you know, communication etiquette, and also just kind of being new to remote work in general, we are here to tell you that it does get easier and you do get used to it a little more. It was also interesting that you have this with Francois, because you can work, correct me if I'm wrong, but you work pretty closely with him on kind of collaboratively. And in my case, Kelly, who our listeners who have heard before, she does pretty much she has very similar responsibilities to me. So for us, it seems to work really well in the different time zones, because I can get in much earlier than, you know, for my normal mornings, it's early. And because Castos has kind of a conventional office hours that we operate in the East Coast of the United States, I can come in earlier and get a lot of things done before people are up and answering emails. And it feels like we have a pretty good flow coming from, you know, the European morning over to the American morning. And then we continue throughout the day. And there's a lot of, at least for support, there's a lot of coverage hours being between when I work and between when Kelly works. That's quite a lot of hours in the day that somebody is there to support folks who might have an issue or have any questions about how to use Castos.
Yeah, and it's really cool that we are, not only us, there are many teams that work with different time zones and have a lot of async communication. And in my case, I have learned that written communication is extremely important when working in a team like this. And English not being my first language in the beginning, and also this being my first job that I work fully in English, in the beginning, I struggled with that a lot. I hadn't practiced writing emails a lot, for example, in English, or explaining more technical things in English, like work-related stuff. And in the beginning, I really struggled with that. And especially because I felt like the burden that I had to be good at it in order for this to work for me, because I noticed how important it was to be good at writing and explaining what you're trying to say, because we are such a global team and because of the different time zones. But it does get easier as time passes and as you practice more, and especially when you have really cool coworkers that are aware of that and try to understand you when you don't find the right words and try to help you. So that's really great. But yeah, as an advice, I would say that for anyone starting a remote job with a global team and with different time zones, to practice your written communication, like writing emails or explaining stuff about your job in written form, and to make sure that you're explaining things well and that what you're trying to say or what the message that you're trying to convey is clear, basically. Because I have realized that it's funny when I, for example, to Francois, that I send a message, and because we have like a really big time difference, if I don't explain myself right on the first message, it could be like one day of delay, you know, because maybe we don't have the time to chat during that day, like, you know, at the same hour. And maybe I have to wait for, of course, I have to wait for him to get on work, but maybe I see the message on the next day of my work day. And if I didn't explain myself well, it's like, oh no, it was my fault because I didn't explain myself and I have to go ahead and do it and try to say what I meant. It's not necessarily that that has happened now that I think about it, but I have seen some, I have experienced that little when I'm trying, like, that it was my fault that I didn't find the right word or yeah. that I didn't explain.
Or you thought it was your fault, at least.
Well, yeah, I think. But it's interesting because not explaining yourself well could mean that, like, one day of delay. That's why I also realized that meetings are beneficial at times when you want to, like, really discuss something very specific and just have a meeting. It's easier because you can show hand gestures and stuff if you don't think of the right word.
We have an exclusive. Maru is coming out in big support of meetings for remote work. No, I'm kidding. No, but it's interesting that you mentioned this because I think I have a former colleague of ours. They would often say that remote work you need to sometimes over communicate. And I'll give an example of how I over communicate. I didn't use a whole lot of emojis in my daily life before I started working at Castos last year. And I did notice that emojis can very much help frame a conversation. Or, I mean, over communication is explaining things as best you can so that there's no doubt left in the conversation. Like you just said, if you don't explain something maybe thoroughly as best you can, there could be a big delay and then that slows down the process. It might even lead to a big misunderstanding. But yeah, I think over communicating is a good idea, good thing to keep in mind, especially when you first enter into a new job, start working with a new team. And yeah, don't be afraid to use emojis if you're an anti-emoji person, but any way to kind of help soften the ambiguity around written or spoken communication can really go a long way when we're all working asynchronously.
Just one last thing regarding that same topic of, like, some tips of what to do to help with the communication of, like, with async communication in a global team with different time zones is, like, recording short videos or GIFs, I don't know how to pronounce them very well, but those are really helpful if you want to explain something, or not necessarily explain, but, like, show something and you want to send it to a coworker. I found that recording videos of the things that I'm trying to explain, it's really helpful because I just send it and if it's something that I'm talking in the video, if what I'm saying it's not very clear, at least I'm showing, like, it has like the visual portion of it, so you can at least see what I'm trying to explain, and that's really, it's really helpful. But yeah, overall, I think this topic is really interesting because you can get so many good stories from people, and it's just a work in progress, right? When you live in another country and you work remotely, it's just a learning experience every day, but it's really amazing. I'm so grateful that I get to do it.
That's it for now. You can subscribe to this podcast feed so you won't miss a new episode of Breaking Patterns. Catch you all later.